One of the pleasures, but also the difficulties of teaching and learning about the Second World War in Britain is that because the war is still so culturally present, it's a topic about which people have a great deal of assumed knowledge. And whilst that means that student and staff will nearly always have something to contribute when it comes to discussing the conflict, it can also mean that the war only gets interpreted within particular established frameworks. So what I'd like to do in this mini lecture is to try to encourage you to think about the war in a more dynamic and connected way. Why do I emphasise those two things? Well, dynamism because to a remarkable degree, I think wartime is presented as an invariable condition. This is, of course, a traditional problem of periodisation in history, one more visible perhaps in relation to wars because they can seem to have a defined legal beginning and end. Although even that we might question, even with regard to an apparently clear cut interstate conflict such as the Second World War. But that's another podcast. But the war was not the same throughout its course. And these chronological differences were crucial both to the war's consequences for the nation as a whole and for the ways in which it was experienced at an individual level. So, for example, given that the war is often interpreted still in terms of social change, a point to which, to a degree, we'll return later in this lecture, a frequently encountered question might be, what did the war mean for British women? But I think if you were faced with that question, you have to ask not just which women, but also which part of the war are you talking about? Similarly, if I emphasise the need to see the war in connected terms, it's because I think it's surprising how separated the home and fighting fronts have become in some of the ways in which we understand the war. That's particularly striking because so much of the propaganda and wider discussion at the time emphasises the unity of the two, that in a total war, civilians have become combatants in the same way as soldiers. In practice, however, what that has often meant historiographically is a focus on civilians' experience of bombardment during the Blitz as something distinctive about the Second World War, and along with that, an interest in the development of welfare and, you know, political developments during the war, and relatively little attention being paid within that sort of British, specifically British history, to how Britain fights, except by military historians who in turn have not been much interested in the home front. And the gap that results is rather strange for several reasons. First, because, as I'm going to argue, it's the attempt to create overwhelming military force that shapes the British home front during the middle years of the war. Second, because actually in international comparison, the suffering of civilians during war is not by any means unusual. In fact, I think it's far more typical than the British condition would give you reason to think. And finally, because even when the fighting fronts do appear in accounts of the home front, it's much more frequently the Battle of Britain, the aerial defence of the country in the summer of 1940, rather than the huge and devastating bomber offensive that Britain maintains against Nazi Germany from 1943 to 1945, and which actually makes a really significant contribution to the end of the war. Well, we can argue, I think, actually, about the effectiveness and morality of that campaign. My own stance is that it's simultaneously much more effective than is often realised, and immoral, but again, that's another podcast. But we shouldn't forget that the great fleets of planes and the enormous weight of bombs are not conjured out of thin air. The aircraft flown by RAF Bomber Command are overwhelmingly made in British factories, by British workers, and the third of a million German city dwellers that they kill, about five times more than the number of British deaths from bombing, are not an aberration, but rather an essential outcome of the way in which the UK chooses to fight. They're part of Britain's war as well. So in this lecture, I'm going to try and lay out to you a brief chronology of the war to suggest some of the ways in which it changes over the time, and in the process discuss some of the consequences of the war's course for the British home front.